Last month, in the month of January, we as a church read the book of Exodus, and I hope you did that. I hope you signed the board out there. This month, we're going to be reading the book of Leviticus. Next month, it will be Numbers and then Deuteronomy. We're going to read what's called the five books of the Bible, the Old Testament. Those first five books, they are called the Pentateuch. And we're going to read that, the law of God, who has given that to Moses. But we're going to focus this month on Leviticus. But today, I did this once before, about a year ago. I preached all the way through the book of Joshua in one sermon. Today, I'm going to preach all the way through that whole book of Exodus. If you read it, you'll know where I'm going. If you didn't get a chance to read it, you will have got the whole thing here in the next few hours. Whatever it takes, we're going to go through the book of Exodus. It is a book about Moses, this man named Moses, but much more than just Moses. It is about his personal relationship with God. It is about this Moses giving the word of God to the Hebrew people. I entitled it, Up on the Mountain. In parentheses, I put in there, on top of Old Smoky. We're going to see that the cloud, the smoke of God, was with Moses. And God himself gave Moses some words, some commandments. He said, go tell the people what I have said. In the early chapters of Exodus, we learn about Moses' birth. He was placed in a basket by his mother, Jochebed, at 3 months old. She did that in order for him to escape Pharaoh's order to kill all male Hebrew babies at that time. Pharaoh did that because he felt threatened because the Hebrews, who were his slaves, were growing too big. And he feared that if they got too populated, they would rise up and overthrow him. But one thing that Pharaoh did not fully grasp, and I want you to understand this morning, they didn't understand the Hebrew people were God's chosen people. Amen? Don't mess with God's people. God had his hand upon them. Can I just remind all of us here today, God has his hand upon us. Grace Baptist Church, we're going to celebrate 60 years as a church come this November. That's a great, great thing. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God is bigger than any one pastor. God is bigger than any one person. God is bigger than whoever you think you are. The church was here before you got here. The church will be here after you're not here. Grace Baptist is here because God has his hand upon us. Jochebed placed her son Moses in a basket, placed him in the river as Moses' sister Miriam was watching close by. She saw Pharaoh's own daughter taking a bath in the river. Noticed this basket. Pharaoh's daughter had her maids grab the basket out of the river. Upon opening it up, she saw a Hebrew baby inside. And she knew right away that that baby was there in order to escape her own father's death warrant. But again, God's hand was in this. For Miriam, Moses' sister, went to Pharaoh's daughter and asked, can I go and find a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby for you? And Pharaoh's daughter gave her permission, and lo and behold, Miriam returns with Jochebed, Moses' very own birth mother. Now that's a God moment, amen? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house as his own son. Eventually, Moses found out that he was really a Hebrew, and after a chain of events, Moses fled from Egypt and went into the land of Midian. And it was while there he met his wife, Zipporah. It was also while there that God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. The bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed by the flames. God's message, his voice to Moses that day was very clear. Go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God had specifically called Moses to go there for a specific task, and that was to lead the Hebrews out of slavery from Egypt and bring them to the promised land, the land that was promised by God to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the land that would become known as Israel. Well, you may know the rest of the story, maybe even the movie. After those 10 plagues, Pharaoh finally let the Hebrew people go, and it was Moses himself who led them out. After leaving and on their way to the promised land, the Hebrews, under the leadership of Moses, camped out by the Red Sea. Pharaoh had a change of heart and assembled his army to go and to bring those Hebrew slaves back. And while with this deep raging waters in front of them and the mighty powerful Egyptian army behind them, Moses and the Hebrew people appeared to be trapped. But that's when God once again showed his mighty power in what seemed to be an impossible situation. For God parted the Red Sea, and Moses and the Hebrews walked across on dry ground, not to be undone. Pharaoh's army chased them into that dry ground of that seabed. But once inside, with those roaring waters on either side of them, the Bible says God closed up the waters, and the entire Egyptian army drowned. Some scholars have said, well, it's not as such as a miracle as you might seem. They tried to figure out, perhaps they crossed at this certain section and the water was only inches deep. And I look at that and I say, well, that may very well be, but even more so of a miracle that all of the Egyptian army drowned in 6 inches of water. You can't figure out God. You can't undo God. The Hebrew people had been delivered by God Almighty. They were on their way to the promised land. But before they walked those hundreds of miles to Israel, they found themselves in the desert wilderness called the Sinai Peninsula. And it's that setting that I want us to focus on today. Let me go really quickly. Exodus 1 through 6 is the early life of Moses. Chapters 7 through 11 is about those 10 plagues. Chapters 12 and 13 is about the Passover, the 10th plague of death, and the exodus from Egypt. Chapter 14 is on that parting of the sea that I just mentioned. Chapter 15, the Hebrews praise God for deliverance and water is provided for them. Chapter 16, God provided manna and quail so they can have something to eat in the wilderness. Chapter 17, God provided water from the rock. The Amalekites attacked and were defeated. Chapter 18, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, visited them. And chapter 19, the Hebrews find themselves at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was a mountaintop located in the Sinai Peninsula. A lot has been written and discussed about Mount Sinai and where it is. I don't have time to go over all of that. Basically, it's this, Mount Sinai. Some writings will use the word Horeb, H-O-R-E-B. But Mount Sinai is that individual summit mountain from which the Ten Commandments were given by God to Moses. Mount Sinai is usually identified as Jebel Musa, a 7,500-foot peak at the south end of that V you'll see on the wall between the gulfs of the Suez and Aqaba. At the foot of that peak is a plain, 2.5 miles long, 1.5 mile wide, in which the people, the Hebrew people, could have easily have camped out for the more than 11 months that they were there in that part of the wilderness. Basically, I like to think very generally and simply that Mount Sinai is where God spoke to Moses. It is a place where the Hebrew people identified it as a place where God revealed himself to them. And let's just for simplicity's sake hold on to that thought this morning. As you know, my wife and I like to hike. We love to go to the Rocky Mountains. There's a particular mountain site, and there's a Mount Chapin we like to go up. I particularly like to hike it. It's about 2 miles, 2.5 miles up, and we do it every time we get a chance. I love to go up there. I think I've gone up there 3 or 4 times. Here, I want you to just stay with me. We're going to talk about Moses and his hiking. He actually went up to the mountaintop 6 different times to hear from God. And let's go through those this morning. that first hike in Exodus chapter 19. Verse 1 says that the Hebrew people were in the wilderness there in Mount Sinai. It was then that Moses went up to the mountaintop for the first time. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, we read, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of that mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell these words to the children of Israel. God was giving Moses this message for the people. Chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6. Here's what he said. God said to Moses, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and how I brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, since you have seen all of this, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that you shall be a particular treasure unto me above all other people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest. You will be a holy nation. These are the words which you should speak, Moses, to the children of Israel. The Bible says immediately Moses did as the Lord commanded. He went down from that mountain and he gave the people God's message. A few verses later, you will read that the people agreed to do exactly what God said. A few verses later, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8, we find that Moses went back up the mountain for the second time. And he told God that the people agreed to do what you have commanded, Lord. Look what he said in verse 8 of chapter 19. All of the people answered together and said, This is the message that Moses gave to the Lord. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses took those words to the Lord. And it was while on that mountain for the second time that God gave Moses this message. In verse 9 of chapter 19, we read, The Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I will come unto your people in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against that third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourself, that you go not up into the mountain. Do not touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Then shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come to the mountain. In verse 14, Moses left that mountain. He went back down to the people, and he gave this message to the Lord. Moses, the Bible says, Moses also sanctified them or consecrated the people. What does that mean? It means they washed their clothes. That was a symbolic gesture to make themselves clean. That was necessary. Don't miss this. It was necessary to make themselves clean, for the people were getting themselves ready to meet God. Do we understand that? God is pure. He is holy. He is sinless. And the only way that we can go and meet God and stand before Him is because we have become made sinless ourselves, in a sense. We have become made righteousness and holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus' blood covers all of our sin. And that allows me to stand in the presence of God. Bible says once the people prepared themselves to meet God, I want you to see what happened there in verse 16. And it came to pass on that third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet was exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the nether part of that mountain, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. Do you see the picture here? God completely enveloped Mount Sinai in smoke. The Lord came down on it in fire. The Lord spoke in thunder. God was in their presence, and they were in the presence of God. God's presence has been with us in a mighty way these last few weeks. We had a day of fasting and prayer, and I saw people in the presence of God, and people were telling us they had been in the presence of God like never before. This church, we brought ourselves collectively. You brought yourselves together in prayer and fasting, and we came together as a church in the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but God did not disappoint. I was in His presence. Verse 20 of chapter 19 of Exodus, we read, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of that mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the mountaintop again. And Moses went up. God had summoned Moses back up to the mountain for the third time. This time God told Moses to warn the people, do not come up to the mountain. There in verses 21 and 22 and 3 and 4 of 19. The Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze. Many of them will perish if they do that. Let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord will break through upon them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you have charged us, you have commanded us, saying, set bounds upon the mountain and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, go down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest or the people break through to come unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Moses then left the mountain and went back down to the people. And it was then that the Lord God Himself thundered or spoke those great Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And then the Bible says the people trembled at the voice of God. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far away. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto those people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, so that you sin not. The commandments of God are for us. They're in place for us. It's not so that God can lord over us. They're in place for us so that we don't sin. God wants us to have this righteous relationship with Him. After all, He created us in His own image. We are a peculiar people, a chosen people. And these laws of God are in place to keep us focused, to keep us so we won't sin. Moses then went up into the cloud, and God conversed with him there. And during that conversation, God gave Moses additional laws. After receiving those additional laws from God, Moses gave them also to the people. In chapter 24 of Exodus, God commanded Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu were the oldest sons of Aaron, Moses' brother. He also commanded 70 of the elders of Israel to worship at the base of the mountain. but God summoned Moses to come closer to him by himself. The Bible says afterward, Moses went to the people and he told them all of the words of God. Moses gave them these additional laws and commandments. And I want you to notice very quickly in Exodus 24:3, I want you to notice the people's response after they had received the word from Moses, who got it from God. After those people had received the commandments and the laws, in 24:3 they say, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." Well, Moses took them at their word. Moses made an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He took the blood from those animals and sprinkled it on top of the people, symbolic of the covenant that they had just openly pronounced, that they would do all of the commands that God commanded them to do. Afterward, Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, 70 of those elders of Israel, they went to the cloud and they saw God and they ate and they drank, and God then commanded Moses back up to the top of the mountain in 24:12. And so in 24:13 we read, "And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua with him, and Moses went up into the mount of God." Moses and Joshua went up to the top of Mount Sinai, and in 24:15, though, "And Moses went up into the mountain," that cloud covered that mountain. We understand and know that this is Moses' fourth hike up to that mountaintop. And the Bible says in 24, "The glory of the Lord settled and covered Mount Sinai with a cloud for 6 days. Remember what I said last week about that word glory? The Hebrew word for glory carried the idea of weight and importance, or majesty and honor. Here's what its meaning is. Its meaning, that word glory, when we see the glory of the Lord, its meaning is when God reveals a glimpse of who He is. That's why it's the Christian's goal. It should be our motive. It should be our desire to be in the glory of the Lord. I want God to reveal just a little glimpse. God, just give me a little glimpse of who you are. And I saw that even last night. Brother Larry's here, praying with Larry and Barb, knowing that she faced this very serious surgery. And the doctor gave no promises. But Larry, your words meant so much to me. Because Larry was in the presence of God when he said this. He said, "Pastor, I'm either going to take Barb home or the Lord's going to take her home tonight." He was in the presence of God. I felt, Larry, last night in that room with you and some of the others and Miss Jean, we were in the presence of God. We knew God's got this. No, I didn't know how the surgery was going to end up, but I knew this: no matter what, God's got this. God revealed just a glimpse of who you are. During those 6 days, Moses was in that cloud. He was up in the presence of God. And on that seventh day, the Bible says, God called unto Moses from that cloud. And Moses entered that cloud. And the Bible says he remained there for 40 days and 40 nights. Let me just read that to you so you don't think I'm just making this up. In Exodus 24, verse 16, "The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on that seventh day, God called unto Moses out of the midst of that cloud. And the sight of the glory of God was like a devouring fire on top of that mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of that cloud, and he got up into that mountain, and Moses was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Chapters 25 through 31, it's about Moses being on top of that mountain, receiving further instructions from God, instructions that you can read in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, how to build the ark, the place, that little box, the golden box that the Ten Commandments stones were in, how to build a tabernacle. There's order and design to building God's house. He gave him, Moses, God gave Moses further instructions about the altar and the courtyard, even the garments that the priests were to wear. He gave them instructions on the burnt offering and the sin offering. And what all of that means, there is order to what God demands from us in our worship of him. Amen? Look it up. Find it for yourself. I get agitated sometimes. Back in the 70s, I think it was, we started treating Jesus and God as our best friend. Hear me out. He is our friend. We started saying things like, well, I love Jesus. I love God, but we put it in the same breath of, I love Denver. I love the Panthers. I love pizza when I watch a football game. I love watching football on a big screen TV. And we use that word love, 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 and then we put God in that same category. Can I just tell you this? God is not in that same category as your pizza and your favorite football team. God is the creator of the universe. There's order to what we do when we worship the Lord. And he spelled that all out. God told Moses in chapters 25 to 31 about musical instruments being used to worship the Lord. He gave him laws about consecration. God revealed his provision for skilled workers in the church and observing the Sabbath day. I just love reading that part of the Old Testament. For we see people of all walks in life. Well, pastor, I didn't go to Bible college, and I'm not really this, and I'm not very smart on the Bible, I'm not this. Well, what are you? Well, I'm an electrician, I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter. Great! Because God called out skilled workers to build his temple. And all of a sudden, we see God's original design. He wants everyone involved in service to him. Everyone can do something. If God has skilled you with something like that, whether it's playing a musical instrument or singing or building or whatever, use it for his kingdom work. That's what he spelled out to Moses. It was also during this time that God gave Moses two stone tablets. Stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. In verse 18 of chapter 31, the Bible says, and he gave unto Moses when he had made an end to communing with him, giving him all these other instructions there on Mount Sinai. God gave Moses two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Well, while Moses was up on that mountain, for 40 days and 40 nights, what an experience. Being in the presence of God. Someone's been questioning whether or not we fasted correctly a couple weeks ago. Because we generally did without food for 24 hours. I broadened that. I says, you know, really it's whatever you give up for the Lord. And then I just said, hey, you ask God what God wants you to give up. And bring yourself into the presence of God. Can I say this? If you want to look at that one verse and say, here's the real way to fast. It should have been for 40 days and 40 nights. And so, pastor, since you didn't do that, you led us astray. If you want to look at that one verse like that, you're wrong. You just can't be so narrow-minded and take one verse. But we see that Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted. But the bigger picture is this. He was in the presence of God. And whatever you fasted a couple days ago, I believe this. I believe that it drew you into the presence of your Almighty God. How do I know that? Because many of you have been telling me about that. Whether it's 40 days or one day, if it's a one meal, if it's your cell phone or a meal, let's not get crazy on ourselves. The bigger picture was we're going to bring ourselves into the presence of God with our prayers and with our life. And can I just go so far to say, if we were so wrong, why did God show up? Why did he show up? Because we were seeking Him. And the Bible says when you seek God, He'll find you. And you'll find Him. And that's what happened here 10 days ago. And it's still happening. Amen? 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was up on that mountaintop. Oh, what happened down below? What happened with those people who said, whatever God says, we will do. And within 40 days, probably less than that, because everything was already into play, the people down below had quickly forgotten the covenant oath that they had made with Moses and God a few chapters before. They had forgotten the blood was sprinkled over them, symbolic in the fact that they themselves verbally made this commitment to the Lord. For in chapter 34, we find that the people had gathered themselves together and they had persuaded Moses' own brother Aaron to make a golden calf image for them to serve as their small g god, since they had not heard from Moses for a long time. Folks, it had only been 40 days. They even started questioning his whereabouts and whether or not he was still alive. They made this golden calf, and Aaron himself, Moses' own brother. Can I remind you who Aaron was? When God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, one of Moses' excuses was, God, you know I don't speak very well, and so therefore I can't do the job. And God said, I know that. That's why you're going to take Aaron, your brother. He will speak for you. Aaron, Moses' own brother, was walking beside Moses. He saw all of the plagues. He saw them leave Egypt. He saw the waters parted. He saw the magnificent, mighty, powerful acts of God. But yet, sometime within 40 days, even Aaron had forgot. He made this calf. Bible says Aaron built an altar for it. Bible says the next day the people rose up and they offered burnt offerings. They brought peace offerings and sacrificed them before the golden calf. The Bible says then they sat down to eat and to drink. The King James says to play. Basically what that meant was they were involved in riotous living. Less than 40 days. Less than 40 days. God tells Moses, Moses, we've had a great time up here, if I can paraphrase a minute, but I need you to go back down this mountain. For the people there in verse 30, or chapter 32, verse 7, Bible says they have corrupted themselves. God even told Moses that he wanted to consume or destroy them for their sin. But Moses interceded to God on behalf of the people and he said, God, don't do that. I can't figure it out. I'm not going to try to explain it. But because of that conversation and that relationship that Moses had with God, God did not do that. Moses went down from the mountain, carrying those two stone tablets which contain the writings of God. And while Moses and Joshua were walking down that mountain, they could hear the commotion of the people from the camp below. In fact, Joshua described it in 32:17. There is noise of war in the camp. When Moses got down to the bottom of that mountain, he came upon that camp and he saw that golden calf and he saw those people worshiping that false idol in his anger. And I believe it was a righteous anger. He threw those two stone tablets down and they broke into pieces. The Bible says Moses took that golden calf and he burned it in a fire, ground it into powder, threw it in the water, and he made the people drink from it. And then he went to his brother and he questioned, why would you do such a thing? And then Moses spoke those famous words found in 32:26. Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. The Bible says the sons of Levi, Levi's camp, chose to be with Moses. And by the command of God, Moses then commanded them to go and kill all of the others in the camp who did not choose to be on Moses' or God's side. And look it up in the Bible. The Bible says 3,000 men were killed that day. God cleaned house. Can I just remind all of us of something this morning? It is a serious business to go against God and His commandments and His leadership. Let me tell you this. You want to criticize me? And you want to badmouth me? You come and give me everything you have. But I will not tolerate, nor will I stand idly by if people start criticizing the leadership of this church and its leaders. This church has men of God who are deacons, who serve God well, who have God in their heart and in their life, and have sacrificed years of their life, if not all of it, for the Lord. This church has deacon wives who in their own way love you. And let me tell you this, in the last 3 weeks, the deacons and their wives and my wife and I and a couple others, we made sure that all of the shut-ins and those who were sick and afflicted and in the hospital got a visit or a phone call. Don't criticize my leadership here. They're working for you. They may not be on the stage every Sunday, but they're working hard for you. Don't criticize my Sunday school teachers. Teachers are called by God to teach His Word. And the last time I looked, none of them had gone to college and got an education degree. But they're just men and women who said, God has called me to teach. And I want to faithfully do that. You have some good teachers here in Sunday school and throughout the week teaching Bible programs. You have strong leadership in your music. People who not only want to sing praises to the Lord, they want to lead you into singing praises for God. You have strong leadership. You don't believe that? I dare anybody to come in here on Thursday morning at 8 o'clock and watch two older ladies cleaning this tall church by themselves. We talked about Moses' face shining. You come in here and see the shine on their face and the glory in their voice and the smile on their face as they're cleaning the bathrooms and vacuuming all of this floor and polishing the wood. They are serving the Lord. Don't talk to me about leadership. People are working hard for the Lord. And church, you have leadership in place here. But it's a serious business to go against God and His commands and His leadership. These people rose up against Moses and Aaron and they built this calf, and Moses just basically said, whoever's on the Lord's side, you better get over on this side. And they met their death that day. Moses then offered up some grace and mercy and intercession in chapter 32, verse 30. He says, you have sinned a great sin, but I am now going to go up to the mountain to the Lord, and I will make atonement for your sin. Do you see the love in Moses' heart? Do you see the leadership in Moses' heart? He was no doubt upset of what had gone on. He broke those tablets in anger, the Bible says. Righteous anger, I believe. But when it was all said and done, he said, I'm going to go talk to the Lord, and I'm going to make atonement for you. There in chapter 32, verse 31, 2 and 3, Moses returned unto the Lord and he said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and they have made themselves gods of gold. Yet not if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray, out of your book which you have. And the Lord said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses was standing in the gap for his people as a leader. He went to God Almighty. Lord, the people have sinned against you. They've sinned against you, and I ask that you forgive them. But if you won't, God, I kind of understand Moses saying perhaps, God, if you won't, I would certainly understand because you are God, but don't hold it accountable to them. Take me instead. That's leadership. But look how God answered again. No, Moses, no, no. Whoever has sinned against me, that's the one that I will blot out of my book. After that fifth encounter with God, God told Moses, go back down to the people. Moses, go back down. You're the leader. You're who I have called. Go back down and continue leading those people to the promised land. And so Moses did. But God still punished them for making that golden calf and worshiping it. The punishment was basically that that generation would die in the wilderness and they would not get to go into the promised land. God is a serious God, folks. He's very serious. He means business. He doesn't play games. Yes, he forgave them, but there were consequences to their sin. Chapter 33 records that Moses was upset with the people for their actions. He began to think that he was a terrible leader. He thought that he had failed, but God reminded him, no, God would judge those accordingly. And God told Moses, go back to the people and lead them to the promised land, just like I intended you to do. And so then Moses set up the tabernacle tent outside the camp in chapter 33:7. That would be their place of worship of this Almighty God. However, when Moses went into that tabernacle tent, all of the people stood at their own tents and they looked out, and I want you to see what they saw was happening. In chapter 33, picking up in verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into that tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all of the people rose up and they worshiped, every man in his own tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, look at this, face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, who was a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Look what they saw. They saw what was going on here. Moses was having this face-to-face conversation with God. They saw and they were in the presence of God. Let's read further. Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Here was Moses earnestly calling out to God, God, you're telling me to lead these people, but I've seen 3,000 of them at your hand of your judgment, and I see that they have worshipped golden calves, and now I see as part of that punishment, they aren't going to be able to go to the promised land. God, I know you want me to lead them, but who is with me? Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Moses says to God, show me now your way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and so that I might consider that this nation is your people. And look at verse 14, it's so powerful. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Are you understanding what's happening here? Moses even asked God to show his glory in verse 18. Moses said, I beseech thee. That word beseech means I earnestly am begging. I am yearning for it. I'm down on my knees. Show me your glory. And God answered. In verse 19, and God said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show my mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, Moses. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put you in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and Moses, you will see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Moses just wanted to see a glimpse of Almighty God, and God said, okay. You can see a glimpse. Whoa. Moses was asking God to show up. And he did. Folks, 10 days ago, many, if not all of you, were asking God to show up. And he did. I saw people leave here and then come back. And I said, why are you back? Did you forget your coat, your Bible? No, I wanted more. I saw people, husbands and wives, kneeling right here, holding hands and on their knees and on their faces at the altar of God. You sought God. You asked him to show up. You wanted to see a glimpse of his glory, and he didn't disappoint. He showed up. Had somebody tell me, Pastor, I have to work that day, but at 11 o'clock, you'll know I'm praying for you, for that's my lunch hour. And I knew that man's word was good. I didn't have to call and remind him. I didn't have to call, hey, how's it going? I knew it. I felt the presence of God here, and somehow over the miles, we were brought together. We wanted to see a glimpse of God, and he showed up. In chapter 34, God instructed Moses to cut two stone tablets like the first ones which he had broken, and God said he would rewrite the commandments on them. And then God commanded Moses to go back up to the top of Mount Sinai. Again, Moses was to go there alone. But this time, God was specifically commanding him that no one was to even be near the mountain. Moses, it's just me and you this time. In fact, the Bible says even the animals were not allowed to even graze upon or come near that mountain. While Moses was up there on the mountain for the sixth time. In chapter 34, verse 4, Moses goes back up to the mountain the sixth time, and I want you to see what happened in verse 5 and 6 of chapter 34. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Ooh. Thank you, Brother Tim. Whoa. Look what he said. And the Lord descended and stood with Moses. Moses wasn't alone. And God had something to say. I'm going to proclaim my name. The Lord is merciful and gracious and long-suffering. He's keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin that will by no means clear the guilty, but he's visiting the iniquity of our fathers. He will be with our children, upon our children's children. He will be with us when we do what he's called us to do. God revealed to Moses just who he was. Let's look at that for a moment. The Lord revealed his character. Capital C, character. The Lord revealed his nature, capital N, nature, which proclaims his name. Remember when God started with Moses back in Exodus chapter 4? God told Moses that Moses was going to be the one to lead the people out of Egypt, and Moses asked God, who shall I say is sending me? And God answered, tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. Folks, that is a self-revelation of God. God's personal name given to Moses. Translated, that means Lord in the English versions. But can I remind you of some words? He is Yahweh, the self-existent, active one. He is everything I need in every circumstance. He is El, the infinitely strong one. Elohim, the all-powerful one, the creator. He is Jehovah. I am the one who is. And then he tells us he's gracious. He has steadfast love. He has grace and mercy for all people. He is tender. He's truthful. He's forgiving. He is just. He must punish those who sin against him. After that encounter with God, Moses bowed down and worshiped the Lord, and he asked God to go with him. He asked for forgiveness, and he and God made a covenant on behalf of all those people. The rest of chapter 34 is filled with God telling the people to obey him. Obey his commandments. Obey his laws. And in return, God promised to be with them and to do great and mighty things through them. During that sixth trip up the mountaintop, Moses was again there for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says he again did not eat or drink. While there, Moses wrote on those two tablets the words of the covenant and those 10 commandments that God had given him. Moses then came down from that mountain, but this time he was different. I want you to notice him. The Bible records that Moses' face shone brightly this time. His face was so astounding that Aaron and all of the rest were afraid to come near him. Chapter 34, verse 30, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid. Eventually, and I believe very quickly, the people came near to Moses, and Moses gave them again the word of God. It was there that Moses spoke to the people, and he revealed all that God had spoken to him about. Chapter 34 ends with Moses wearing a veil over his face when he spoke to the people. But when he went into the presence of God, Moses revealed and removed that veil, and his face revealed that it continued to shine. Six times Moses went to the top of that mountain, and when he came down that sixth time, his face shone bright. Their leader was in the presence of God. Moses was the leader. Moses was the one communicating with God. Moses was the one seeking God for the direction of those Hebrew people. And just like people are, sometimes people go do their own thing, try to disrupt what God has in store. Don't mess with God. Six times Moses was called by God to go up to the top of the mountain into his presence. Six times while on the top of that mountain, Moses received the word of God. We know that God revealed himself to Moses. God gave him instructions, and God gave Moses clear direction and told Moses specifically what to do. Go and lead my people to the promised land. If Moses wasn't the leader, do you not think that God would have gotten him out of the way and put somebody else in charge to do the work? Moses was the leader. The people, some of those people rose up against God's command and their leader Moses. And God dealt with it. And even when Moses started feeling like, God, did I mess up? Is it me? He called them back to the mountain. Moses, it ain't you. You just keep following my commands. You just keep obeying my voice. You just keep leading my people. The leadership is strong here in this church. You have men and women who are godly and who are seeking God. And as far as I'm concerned, they are serving you well. Don't let nobody talk about my leadership. It ain't gonna happen on my watch. You got something to say, you come after me with all you got. You're not gonna attack my leaders unless you've got good reason to. Moses was ready, the Bible says. He came down from that mountain as I'm closing. Moses was ready to do everything the Lord asked him. He was ready to lead. He was ready to serve. And Moses was even ready to die. Whatever it would be, Moses was ready and he was committed to follow the commands of God. How do I know that? How do I know that? Because the Bible says Moses' face shone brightly with the glory of God. He was in the presence of God, and the people saw it. Amen? Heavenly Father, we pray this afternoon.